I love this scripture. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered, and this was the first registration, and all went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth to the city of David called Bethlehem because he was descended from the house of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. I have up on the screen for you two of my favorite depictions of the scene. I used to think quite self-righteously that I liked these blue silhouettes because they avoided the lie of light-skinned, European-featured Mary and Joseph, who were most assuredly dark-skinned Semitic people. I realized, though, through the course of this week that I love the blue silhouettes because they are tranquil. They spin the nativity story the way I want them to, the way I need them to, the way that gave birth to my favorite Christmas carols. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless streets, the silent stars go by. And silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. But here's the thing. We blame U.S. Counselor to the President Kellyanne Conway for giving us the phrase alternative facts during a meeting with Meet the Press in 2017. But the gospel writer Luke was surely providing us alternative facts when he dropped this innocent little account on the people 2,000 years ago. To begin with, his gospel links the birth of Jesus to the reign of Herod the Great, but the census actually took place in year six of the Common Era, 9 years after Herod's death in the year 4 before the Common Era. And there was no census, no single census of the entire empire under the Emperor Augustus. No Roman census required people to travel from their homes to those of distant ancestors. And even if it had happened, the census of Judea would not have affected Joseph and his family who were living in Galilee. And even if there was a census that year, somehow missed by every historian and county clerk, there was nothing about that story that could account for my tranquil blue pictures. Can you imagine? This couple has finally gotten their extended families used to the idea that yes, Mary was pregnant, but no, she had not had sex with Joseph or anyone else. And this child was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and then it would have gone maybe something like this. And by the way, though Mary is 9 months pregnant, I'm going to put her on a donkey and take her on the extremely dangerous, even in the best of conditions, journey to Bethlehem. And no, I didn't phone ahead and make reservations, and there will be millions of people jammed into a city smaller than Buda, Texas. But, the first Christmas with family drama was the first Christmas. All this, and today I'm supposed to be preaching peace. I don't cuss, but I'm learning. Peace. I've had some downright poetic things to say to you about peace through the years. It might be on, but it's not working. Okay. It was gone for a minute. Okay. See what I mean? Peace. I've had some downright poetic things to say to you about peace through the years. Always, honestly. I'm going to take just a moment break here. We're good. All right. Maybe you're not supposed to hear what I have to say about peace today. It's certainly looking that way. I've had some things to say to you about peace through the years, always honestly, always acknowledging that many of us during the Christmas season have only the barest relationship with peace. And this year, well, this morning I wanted to say a special blessing and a thank you to those of you who are perfectly in touch with your Advent hope, love, joy, and peace. And an even more heartfelt blessing and thank you to those of you who are unselfishly sharing all of those things. Thank God for you. And then I want to say to all of you who are not in touch with Advent hope, love, joy, and peace, I see you. I feel you. There is nothing easy or simple. The world welcomed a vaccine this week, and this morning we learned that COVID has morphed, that there is a noveler coronavirus raging through England now. Not as deadly, but more contagious. And some of you are trying to figure out how you can get your vaccine because you're 80, but you don't live in an extended care facility. Or you're a teacher, and though you must teach in person, and you come into contact with 50 students a day, and through them, 250 of their family members, and through them, 750 people they came into contact with, you aren't really considered essential. And some of you will get the vaccine at your first opportunity, and you live with people who will not. And Christmas is almost here, and your parents really want you to come home, and you can figure out how to do it safely, but of course you can't bring your boyfriend because you're a boy, and even though Hallmark has learned to accept that love is love, your father hasn't. I don't mean to depress you, but I see you. I mean to acknowledge, as Chris Ewing Weiss offered in an Advent reflection several years ago, Advent gives us an opportunity to break through, to feel the quiet desperation that often underlies ordinary life, as well as to give voice and hope to those whose world may be actively coming apart. To stop pretending that everything is fine. If we can't allow that truth, that quiet desperation of lives coming actively apart, if we can't do that during this Advent, when we have built our services around a poem scratched into the wall of a concentration camp cell, well, then we're never going to do it. Last week, Amanda came into the office and took off her heavy outdoor sweater and put on a lighter indoor sweater, and she said, "I feel like Mr. Rogers. I'm taking off my outdoor clothes and putting on my indoor sweater." And her words reminded me of an interview I had heard once with Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers. It was an NPR interview. And here's the part that really stuck with me. Mr. Rogers told the adults who were interviewing him, "The way that news is presented on television can be quite confusing for a young child. The same video segment may be shown over and over again through the day as if each showing is a different event. Someone who has died turns up alive and then they die again. and again. Children often become very anxious because they don't understand about videotape replays and close-ups and camera angles and all the things that are happening. And Mr. Rogers reminded adults that any televised danger seems close to home because the children see the dangerous event happening in their own living room. It's as though it's happening to them. Children can't tell the difference, he says, between what's close and what's far away, what's real, what's pretend, what's new, what's rerunning. And so, confronted by all of this and seeing all this, he says, confused children want to know, who will take care of me? Who will take care of me? They get at some level that they're dependent on all of their adults for safety and for security and for survival. Now, children are naturally self-centered. I'm not so sure that we grow out of that. But children are naturally self-centered, and they need to hear, Mr. Rogers said, they need to hear very clearly that their parents are doing all they can to take care of them and to keep them safe. They also need to hear, this is important, adults, they also need to hear that people in the government and other grown-ups that they don't even know are working hard to keep them safe too. And what I want to say this morning is that doesn't stop when we grow up. And I think it might just be possible that remembering that I've stumbled upon the secret of these tranquil blue pictures of Mary and Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant with the Holy Spirit. And because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But while he was considering this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what's happening in her was begun by the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save the people. He will save the people from their sins. He will save the people from their brokenness. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. See, those children, Joseph and Mary, those children of God, were told quite clearly, there is someone taking care of you. There is someone who cares about your safety and your survival. Do not be afraid. If that's not enough for you, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin. She was engaged to marry a man named Joseph from the family of David. Her name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, greetings, the Lord has blessed you and is with you. And Mary was very startled by the angel and said, what does this mean? And the angel said, don't be afraid, Mary. God has shown you grace. Listen, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of King David. And Mary said again, how will this happen? And the angel said to Mary, "This Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will cover you. And for this reason, the baby will be holy and will be called the Child of God." God can do anything. There are people, Mary, there is a God who is looking out for your security, for your safety, who is providing for you. You see, it's not just the children who need to know this. We need to know that as well. We see the images over and over on our television screens, and we feel them happen over and over again. We see them on our 54-inch TV screens, and they are as real to us as if they are happening in our own living rooms. We still need to be reminded that there is someone taking care of us. You know, I'm teased a lot for my love of Hallmark movies. But friends, Hallmark movies are my no to the state of the world. Hallmark movies are my assurance that love wins and good things happen and reconciliation is possible. Hallmark movies are still impossibly white. And the writers need to know that giving a white character written by white writers a black or brown or Jewish name isn't a stride toward diversity. But we still need to hear that the adults are doing all they can to take care of us and to keep us safe. And we especially need to hear that people in the government and other grown-ups that we don't even know are working hard to keep us safe too. We need to know who the helpers are and who we can bear the truth, who can bear the truth with us, and who will laugh and who will cry with us. I'm coming to the end here, and I wanted to say another thank you. Thank you to those of you who so bravely share the truth. Thank you especially to those who find your way to my office or my phone or my email and who say, "I'm not okay." I have two things to say to you. First, thank you for your bravery and for trusting me with your truth and for allowing me to be your pastor. Most of you always start off with the same thing. "I know you're busy." No, friends, I'm not busy. I'm working on other things until your call comes, or your text, or your visit. My job, my work, my calling doesn't exist without you. I'm a pastor only if you invite me to be. And I'm your pastor only if you allow me to be. So your bravery becomes my blessing. And second, your bravery deserves mine in return. Some of you already know what I'm about to say, but for others of you, it will come as a shock. I'm sorry about that. The pandemic has taken so many things from us, the opportunity to worship together, to celebrate birthdays together, to give and receive spontaneous hugs, but it's also taken away our opportunities for talking to one another face to face and for moving in and out of each other's lives in the ways that allow for us to keep up with one another's lives. It's almost a year. We will need months when this is over to get to know each other again. We've had people die and move. We've had at least 4 babies born to our congregation that we haven't been able to meet and baptize yet. We have had relationships begin and end. We've seen new leaders step up and new members join virtually and longtime friends fall away. I have had big changes in my life as well. Stacy and I have divorced. Now is not the time to go into explanations. Perhaps it isn't the time to tell you at all. We wanted to tell you in person back in the spring, but the pandemic took that from us as well. We can tell you one by one, and we have been, but I'll tell you, the church grapevine is either overrated or ours at Uprising is broken. And I want you to know this. We are both fine, good, staying. This is our church. I realized this week that part of the piece I was missing was having you, the congregation of Uprising, know this. Because a big part of peace, I think, begins with an honest assessment of the situation. That's what I guess Joseph and Mary did. That's why I guess these artists and these composers could give us songs like Silent Night and O Little Town of Bethlehem. But you know, Mary and Joseph received the visits from the angels. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Well, we need to carry the story just a little bit further for our own selves and our own peace of mind. Things for that baby born that day were never calm, mild, still. In fact, they were violent even unto death. But it is that baby, carried into Bethlehem somehow, some way, despite many objections, I'm sure, who grew up into the one who said, because he knew we needed it maybe more than anything, to know that someone cares, to know that someone will take care of us, to know that someone cares about what we need, who said, peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. I can't always access it, but I can always be reminded that it is there. And even as the wars rage and even as the storms come, peace is possible. Amen.